You might like to turn in your Bible to Exodus chapter 15. And in our study, we have been looking at the ministry of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God's ministry is to bring to us the person of God. Sin separates us from God. The saving work of Christ ties us back together with God. So the Lord Jesus Christ brings us back to God. And so you have in 1 Peter 3 and 18, the great purpose of Christ's death is to literally bring us to God. The Lord Jesus will say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God the Father except by me. I'm the only way." I want you, said God, I want you to understand, I want you to grow in the knowledge of God, in the grace of God. I want you to develop. You come to know the Lord just like when you were a little baby. You were a little baby, and as you grew, depending on your circumstances and environment, you grew. And when you grew, you learned of your parents or your guardian as you grew. You didn't know them. You were related to them, but you didn't understand them. You didn't appreciate them. You didn't know why they did what they did, but they did it, and you would go along with it, assuming you were in a reasonable situation. And your childhood would develop, and you would learn of them. And as you get older and you become adult, you really understand them. You don't understand them as a teenager because you aren't an adult. You have to become an adult to understand adult. So the teenager is, say, I know my father, I know my mother, etc. And as they get older, then they learn. They are able to understand more and more. The Spirit of God's ministry is to help believers to know God. God has given his word. And you know, in the beginning, Genesis, with Adam and Eve and thereafter, what do you know? That they were exposed to the presence of God. So they didn't have a Bible. They didn't have anything. They had them and God. And God made himself very clearly real to them. So they never had a question about God. They didn't have a question about God, Cain or Abel or any of them. They didn't have a question. This God is very clear for them. And so as time has gone on, God has unfolded his wonderful person as unbelief took place. They lost the knowledge of God, lost an understanding of God. God stepped back into history, and human government and all those things that we did in 6 o'clock hour. And God stepped forth and has unfolded himself biblically, chronologically, historically, in a wonderful sequence, so that as you were living in a given point in history, you would understand God. And as you proceeded down the corridor, God would reveal himself more and more in different ways. How does he do that? By his name. His name, remember, his name is for someone else to know him. That's the purpose of a name, for someone else to know what the name means in the light of. A person that has all alone, you don't need a name. You need a name for other people to realize who you are. Policeman, judge, doctor, lawyer, etc., etc., etc. The name. Now, having said that, and we looked at God's great... God's wonderful dealing and God's wonderful providing, Jehovah Yireh, God's providing, God's wonderful seeing ahead of time. And we have the word providence, God's management of all that God is doing. So historically, God always sees, always works out so that by way of his word, by way of the Spirit of God's ministry, the world understands. So here we're going to add to that, as we have the advantage. We have the finished book, God's word. And we're able to know God in a unique way because of the person of Jesus Christ, God incarnate in the flesh. And God brings himself into the believing heart today in a unique way because of the person and work of Jesus Christ, and that is his body, his church. The believer becomes baptized, placed into the body of Christ. Now, so add to the name God's wonderful provision. God makes provision, always his providence, always never lacking anything for any believer, for anything, anywhere in the universe. God is covering it in the light of the fact that he's God. He created it, and he made provision to save it, to redeem it, or as the expression goes, to buy back the little ball called planet Earth that left, to bring the ball back into his possession. Now, so here in Exodus chapter 15, and in the process, you'll remember that Israel has, by way of Moses, they have crossed the Red Sea. And in the process, Exodus chapter 15, and in verse 1, so you have this song of Moses, and they cross the Red Sea, and Moses leads them in this song, and they sang, they didn't have writing, they didn't have that, they didn't have a book, they had that which they communicated verbally. And they sang the truth. And thus, chapter 15, verse 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Now, down to verse 17, they proceeded to sing. And it was a very wonderful, as you read the statements, verses, God tells you they honored God for his marvelous working in what he had done for them. So when you come to Exodus and chapter 17, for thou shalt bring them in, remember there's a future, here's a song, God brought them across the Red Sea, and he didn't bring them across the Red Sea for nothing, because he's going to send them somewhere. He has a plan, a purpose for them. Thus, verse 17. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, Jerusalem, the temple. O Lord, which thy hands have established. God, you have a wonderful program for us. We're moving down the corridor of time. We've crossed over. We've sung. It's a wonderful thing you're going to do, being done for us as you delivered us from Egypt. And the last statement in the song rises and sets the pace. Verse 18. For the Lord shall reign. The Lord shall reign. Jehovah shall reign. He reigns as king to rule, to exercise his supremacy, to exercise his power, and he's to reign forever and ever and ever. And so how do we started out with God. God brought us across the Red Sea. God has brought us across into the Sinai up there, Sinai Peninsula, Saudi Arabia. And God brought us up there. And here we are. And God, and you're a wonderful God, and you have a plan for us, a wonderful plan for our life. When you get saved, if you do get saved, that's a starting point. You know it from Philippians 1:6. He which hath what? Begun, start, you get born. He that hath begun a what? A good work in you will finish it. He starts it and he finishes it. Well, the start, we got the baby part. Little baby, got to grow up and learn it. What environment have we been born into? And who are the people that are caring for us, etc.? And so here a person comes to know the Lord as a Savior. Israel is brought out of Egypt into the wilderness, and they see that God has a wonderful purpose for them, a wonderful purpose for them to be a nation. Now, having said that, and thus the king is to rule, as it says in verse 18, and that he's going to rule in his power and his authority. His power and authority, his rule forever and ever, secures, settles, stabilizes, assures. God, are you able to complete the purposes you have in mind? Yes, I am. In your providence, can you finish the job that you start? Absolutely. Absolutely. And thus, Exodus 15 and in verse 21. Exodus 15 and in verse 21. And Miriam answered them, sing ye, I'll read verse 20. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a trimble, like a tambourine, in her hand, and all the women went out after her with their trimbles, the dancing, jumping around. It's a all exciting time. And verse 21. And Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea, and the whole Egyptian army at that point that crossed is no more. They're all gone under the great. They go from dry land to being covered with water. Thus, they celebrated the victory, God's wonderful victory, and they were so excited. But having celebrated the event, they did not possess it. It was a wonderful thing. It left them with no benefits. It left them with nothing. It was a wonderful thing, a wonderful show, a wonderful experience. But what did you get? What have you got from it? Nothing. But singing, wonderful event. To sing gloriously, that's right. And thus, they're looking down from earth, and they don't look up. They have no sense. And as far as they're concerned, after this crossing the Red Sea out of Egypt, as far as they're concerned, if we walk up and down among 2 million-plus people, walk up and down, and in doing so, what are you going to find? Generally, except for an exception or two, they're the same people that before they crossed the Red Sea. They're the very same people. They think the same way. They use the same language. They do everything the same. You would never know the difference. They're just in a different location. That's all. A different location from one side of the Red Sea to the other side of the Red Sea. And nothing happened. A different location. Things are different, but they aren't different. They aren't different at all. And thus, there needs to be a change, a different location, but it's a different, whole different ball game. And thus, they needed to be assured that they read and they sang it, verse 18, the Lord reigneth forever and ever and ever. Well then, since he reigns forever and ever and ever, then therefore you ought to be, and yes, of great purpose, then you ought to be all excited. You ought to have a different attitude. You aren't going back to the land of Egypt, to your huts, to make bricks. No, it's a whole new world, a whole new way to look at the world. Thus, Exodus 14 and in verse 12. Exodus 14 And in verse 12, picking up, please. Remember now, they're the same. They go from one side to the other side. People get saved, supposedly. They're one thing over here, and they move over here, and the same. Only they go to church now. They go to church. Wonderful. Chapter 14, and case in point, verse 12. Their level is the same. They haven't arisen at all. Verse 12. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt? This is just before they cross. Saying, let us alone, let us alone. Did all the different plagues. Didn't you want to get out? Didn't you want to go? No, we want to get Moses. Would you stop irritating the Egyptians with all these plagues? And leave us alone. We have a wonderful diet. The price of cucumbers and onions are cheap. And hey, we got a wonderful job, a nice little tent, etc. Good retirement program. You know, wow. Verse 12. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, let us alone, that we may, why do you want Moses out of the picture? That purpose we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Better. We're the same. Cross the road, not same thing. Nothing happened. So something's wrong somewhere. And in the process of that, they needed to learn. They needed to lean upon God, learn about God. They needed to learn to know God loved them and that God had a wonderful plan for them. And that God's love wasn't Egyptian love. And God's love wasn't like the world. It wasn't like each other. They did, because that is very weak. And if you sit down and say, "We listen and take the world generally looking down from your magic carpet and go over the world and go into cities and houses and homes," and they talk about loving and we love and we don't love. And would you, when you were done with that investigation and that experience, would you be impressed, generally speaking, about the world's love? Would you be impressed about it? You take a look at it. Really look at it. And don't, realistically. Boy, it doesn't hold up. It doesn't last. It can't sustain itself. And it doesn't take much to blow it all apart. Now, so God loves them, and they have to discover that. Now, in the process of that, so they're going to, God is going to lead them. God is going to care about them and help them to grow up. And he's going to give them his provision. God is going to help them to grow in the wilderness. He's going to give them all kinds of lessons to lock into and believe and go onward. You need to be believing. Believing causes you to grow. Not believing causes you to linger. And when you linger, you tend to go backwards. Now you say, don't go backwards. No, you don't. You have to go backwards. It has to get weak. The strength you have now, spiritually, with God, whatever it is only going to last tomorrow because you feed it. If you don't feed it, your body will get weak. The wonderful food you had today and you feel good and your tummy's full or comfortable. Give it a day or two, and you need to eat again. And if you don't eat again, you're in trouble. Spiritually, in order to stay healthy, you have to eat. You have to believe. You've got to grow. And so believing, you've got to go forward. You can't sit still. I believe that you'll never grow. You're going to go backwards. You're not going to go forward. So you need to be exercised. And God, how are you going to exercise? Well, God said, where did you put them? And remember, God, they could have gone the first route up through Egypt, right along the coast of the Mediterranean, right up where Gaza is, right up along the coast up there. Boom, you're in the land. Quick as like that. God didn't do that. And remember, they weren't ready for war. They couldn't have handled the Philistines, etc., Canaanites. And so God sent them in the southern route across the Red Sea. God knew. God knew and God provided that which they needed. They needed the wilderness. And thus, over if you would please, to Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to come back here, so hang on if you like. And in Matthew chapter 4, the wilderness and all of its difficulties and exercises are to prepare a people to be able to practice what they hear, what they learn, to put into practice what they know. And that's true in work, in sports, in cooking. You read the recipe book and you do it. And you know you could read a recipe book from one end to the other and do it. And when you're all done, you could get an A in a test on the recipe book. But you got zero experience in making anything in that recipe book. So it didn't do you any good. You memorized it. You got the book. You can't make the recipes. You never had the experience. And until you practice the book and the recipes, then you get real acquainted with flour, lard, and everything else that you use to make things. But you got to do it. God, what do they need? They need to practice their new position from Egypt over to the wilderness into the land. They need to put into practice their new, unique relationship. They need to grow. They need to develop. Therefore, God sends them by way into the wilderness. Matthew chapter 4. God, what did you do for our Lord? And remember now, you want to read the end of chapter 3, verse 17. And remember the Lord's baptism. And lo, a voice from heaven, 4:3-17, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then you go to chapter 4 directly in thought. Then the word that starts, then, in the light of God's declaration, this is the Son of God. Then, let's prove it. Let's show it. Let's make it clear. Are you the Son of God? And what's the very next thing after hearing that? Verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit of God, into the wilderness. What on earth for? To be tempted, proven, tried, examined for 40 days and nights, all night long and all day long. To be tested in every way to the extreme extent, the infinite degree, if we might use that word. And thus he's to be tested. Back over, if you would, in your Bible. On your way back, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy in chapter 8. Moses is rehearsing their history in the wilderness. So now we can get a glimpse of looking back from their day they crossed the Red Sea and they sang the song, etc. And now we're going to look at that. Deuteronomy chapter 8. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. Why is that? That you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land practically and positionally. Possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee, here's our Lord, led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness. Verse 2. Which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. For what purpose? To humble thee and to prove, put thee to the test, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or not. Are you going to honor God? Are you going to want to know him? Are you want to grow up? You want to grow up, or do you want to run away from home and disappear? What do you want to do? I want to grow up. Verse 3. So, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers never knew this. No, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know. What do you want to teach the people in the wilderness? That which you find in Matthew chapter 4. In verse 3 here, Deuteronomy 8:3, that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Man lives by God's word. That's how they live. Well, how about food? No, nothing to do with food. Nothing to do with water. Nothing to do with whether that's desert or an oasis. You live by God. All right, that's putting him to the test. And so now, how did that work out? God, how did you demonstrate that to him? You know, wonderfully so. Verse 4. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee. So I just want you to think of the clothes on your back and wear them for 40 years, and they never wear out. Never wear out. Never wear out. I have a suit that I'm working on, and I haven't worn it. I pace my suits. I try to make everything last, so when I die, Jeanette will have a suit to put me in. See? So now, I have all these suits lined up. I got them all in Filene's when they were on sale. So now I got one of the suits. I had it cleaned. The third time I ever have it cleaned, because the tailor told me, don't clean your suits unless you have to, because you wear them out. So I didn't clean them. That's why they're dirty. Now, so I got it back from the cleaners and looked at it, and here's all these rubber things hanging out everywhere. Rubber. Elastic. It's elastic. And is it light coat? Know this, men. Light coat and spana are something like that. Whenever you see those two words, there's elastic in the suit to keep it firm. And in due season, the elastic all breaks down like an elastic. And there's like pants, everything, all elastic. See? Coming out of everything. Now that's my clothing illustration for you. I want you to think of your clothes and never wearing out for 40 years, day and night, day and night, day and night, never wear out. Button never falls off if you had a button. Never wears out. God, did you do that? Wouldn't you be impressed? I'd be impressed. I say, listen, I've had this suit for 35 years. Never took it off. Look at it. Wow. Secondly, and neither, verse 4, neither did thy foot, what, swell. So with all the heat and all the hot desert and all that stuff, and your foot, you never had feet problems. Never had them. Wonderful. Wonderful. Never had them. And you're walking. I mean, you're walking. You know, not buses. Not nothing. You're on walking. On a desert, rocky and everything. And you're walking on that. And you do it. And when you walk a long way. And then you sit down and rest, and then God moves it again. I'm telling you, and your shoes never, your foot never swells. No foot problems. Podiatrists, is that what they call them? You wouldn't need any. In fact, they didn't have any. And you understand that. We'll get to it, maybe. They didn't have any medicine. They didn't have any doctors, and they had no pharmacy. None. You think about that. And we're going to pick it up. It's awesome. Wow. God, can you? You are something else. But boy, I want to discover it. I don't want to be a stoop up here. Look, God, I got to understand this. It's too big. Verse 5. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord doth God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord, thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. And the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vine and fig trees, pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein, verse 9, thou shalt eat bread with what? Without any scarceness. Without any scarceness. No shortage. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. Nothing. God provides. Are you going to trust me, said God? All the world looks to try to make everything work. Matthew chapter 6. But you want to know, you have a heavenly Father who knows all about those things. I want you to learn about your Father, God, so that you will trust him and enjoy him. Otherwise, you won't. You won't. No, you'll be on the other side of the wilderness, and you're there, same old attitude, same thing, oh hum, and you never get the benefits. Thus, picking up, please. And in the light of that, we want to exercise, verse 9, etc. We want to learn that God has wonderful resources, and God uses all the circumstances, and he brings all those things and works them and brings them into our life to bring to the surface, to bring our being in here, our old nature down in here, our Adamic nature, our humanness, unbelief. And God does all kinds of things to bring it to the surface so we see it, so we can deal with it. Otherwise, we make believe it doesn't exist. To say it another way, if I read and you would read Galatians 5, 19, 20, and 21, the works of the flesh are, and you listed them, and anger, etc., 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 etc. Now, I'll bet you, if we didn't give you a clue, that you would say, oh, I never do that. I never do that. I never think like that. Lasciviousness? Never, 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 never. I don't do any of those things. No, I don't do them. They aren't in me. But God said what? They are in you. Well, no, they're not. God said, yes, they are. Now, you need to trust me, because I'm telling you what you have is inside of you. So I'm going to help you understand to trust me with all your heart. And I'm going to allow you to go through whatever to bring out of you what's in you, so that you stop assuming things about yourself that are incorrect. They're not correct, you know. And thus, what do you know when Christ died on the cross? How much of you, each one of us, how much of you did he die for? To what extent did he die for it? What did he not die for? Which thought in your life, however old you are, which thought in your life did Christ not need to die for? Which action in your life did Christ not need to die for? Which part of your life, in any way, shape, or form, did Christ not need to die for? He condemned the whole thing. And therefore, we're trying to salvage parts of us. This is good and this is bad. No, the old nature, God condemned it. It's all bad. But we know you studied it. Can't humans be good comparatively? Yes, they can. Can't they be nice comparatively? Sure they can. But they don't measure up to what God requires. It's bad. Well, how am I going to get to the place where I say with Paul, in me dwelleth what? How am I going to get there? God, you're going to have to help me. And you have to bring out of me all this stuff, inch by inch. And I say, I never thought I would do that, but I did. I never thought of whatever it is. And I say, well, I did that again. Ever hear that? And what are you learning? You're learning about yourself if you pay attention. And you're trusting God more because you realize that God said, in you dwelleth no good thing. So everything you pull up out of the well down here, you pull it up. It's the same dirty water that you had last time. You may put a new suit on. You may do whatever. It's the same dirty water. Now, this is a Christian picture, you can tell. Christian has a cross in it. But make believe you don't see the cross. Everything I pour out of this, no matter what glass I put it in, is it the same? No matter where I put it. I can put it in a golden glass, a silver glass, a plastic glass. Isn't it always the same? Sure it is. It's no different. It's always the same water. And apart from God helping us, it's the same. That's what we're doing. So God, you allow this in the wilderness. That's right. You're going to let all of this happen to bring, help us understand our limitations, to bring to the surface, to strip us of all of our positive, from a human standpoint, we're positive, I'm able to do this, I'm good enough for that, I'm better than the other guy, comparison. And we do all of that, and God helps us to get past that. And in doing so, we become dependent upon God, His power, His blessing. And if we don't do that, then we lock in to an attitude of independence from God. You just had the 4th of July. And we lose His power, we lose His blessing because we're counting on ourselves. And when you count on yourself, then you're no better than you are. You're no higher than your brains, your understanding, your skill, your wisdom, your talent, your whatever. You're no better than that. Let's see any of you get up, any of us, and be something other than what we are. We can only be what we are. That's all you can be. How can you be anything else? Unless there's another way. And that's what God has done for us in a unique and wonderful way so that we would be dependent, decidedly dependent, positively dependent, delightfully dependent upon God. And we're going to look to God. So, Exodus chapter 15. Exodus 15. And in verse 22. Exodus 15 and verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Sur. That's when you cross the Red Sea there. That's the wilderness up there. And the wilderness of Sur. And they went then 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. So here they cross the Red Sea in the wilderness of Sur, up here in the north. And they're going to slide down the coast, basically, slide down the coast to Marah. Verse 22. And when they came to Marah, they took 3 days to get there. They had the water from the Red Sea and all that, whatever, with them. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah, which means bitterness. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So here they are in the wilderness, and they've come all the way down, and in the process, they find no water. And remember now, they crossed the Red Sea. They had one kind of thinking over here, Egyptian, their worldly thinking. And they come over here, and they're still thinking the same way. They have to be transformed. They have to be helped. And therefore, in chapter 15 and verse 22 and 23, there they are, and they sang a song. They did that, but the song is gone. The song is gone. The party's over. The fun time's all over. The good times are all gone. All gone. And every good time you try to lock onto in the flesh is going to disappear. You have a good meal, and it won't be very long, you're going to forget the good meal, and it's all gone. All gone. A good show, a good time, a good vacation, a good this, it's only good for them. And then it's all gone. You can have pictures of it, put them in a scrapbook, fill the book, Fill 50 boxes of books. Never look at the pictures because you don't have time to look at the pictures. And then hopefully somewhere we'll look at the pictures that you took so diligently. And the only pictures. And you've lost it. It's all gone. All gone. So here they've gone. And they're over there in verse 22, 23. And the water, there's no water. And so therefore they say, well, what is this? What is this? Because they're beginning to exercise their heart. And they begin to say now, hey, listen, this isn't like we thought. This isn't what we thought about in Egypt. And remember in Egypt, if you forget, they lived in the land of Goshen. And here's the Nile, longest river in the world, 4,000 miles up there. And the Nile would be next. And the Mississippi comes in there, Mississippi and the Missouri. You have to put them together. And thus, here comes the Nile River emptying out, the Nile Delta. And here's Egypt. But in the upper, going in the Nile, Mediterranean Sea, over here on the east is the land of Goshen, where all the valley and the water makes it all very flourishing for cattle, for sheep, and that's what Israel had. They were sheep herders, etc. And that's what they did. So here they are over there, and God gave them the wonderful land. Now they're in the wilderness, and there is no water. There is no grass. There is no green. Nothing. They're all alone. I mean, what kind of thing is this? Thus, here they are looking, and they say, where am I? Why am I here? Why am I here? And God, if you had just showed us ahead, maybe we would have really not crossed the Red Sea if you showed us. But God didn't allow them that, did he? He didn't allow them the privilege of going back. He never allowed them the privilege of going back. Once they crossed the Red Sea, they will never be able to go back to Egypt. No more. They'll pay a price if they don't trust God and get the blessing, but they can't go back to Egypt. You can't go back there. And thus, now having said that, and here they are, they want to know, if God, if you just showed me, I would have trusted you, but God doesn't show us. And so we're going to have to what? We're going to have to trust God. And there's no water. And so here they are. And they sing. Remember verse 20, 21. They sang a song, but the song's all gone. And here they are in the, with a place in Marah, a bitterness where there's no water. And thus we'd like to be able to think good and high of ourselves. And what do you call that? Pride. We'd like to think good and high of us. We'd like to think that others would think good and high of ourselves. And what do we call that? We call that, dear friend, vanity. Vanity. For self, pride. When you want others to feel vanity. Vanity. See. Now, having said that, so, oh, we want that which is agreeable to and in accord with our taste, with our reception, with our reaction. We want something that fits what we would expect, what we would like to see. And so we saw the water. Remember verse 22, they went in the wilderness and found water, and they were all excited. You can just imagine running to get the water. And they saw the water, and when they tasted it, the happiness turned to sadness and madness because it was bitter. Now, would you please note in the process, verse 24, the reaction of the people. Now, I've got to move. I didn't even get anywhere. You ready? We'll go another hour. And I'll try to get where I was going to go so you'd see it, the benefit of this. Wow. But Verse 24, what did they do? They didn't. You need to know, God, when you're working in my life, what am I looking for? Why did this happen? Why did this happen? Why did this happen? Or what? God, what are you trying to teach me, remember? God, what are you trying to tell me? So I learned something. I don't want to be a stoop in all of this. I want to learn something about my day-by-day living in school, work, home, play. Thus, verse 24, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Now God, who is the provider, who Jehovah Yireh provides, God Did you learn anything, Moses, back then, Abraham? Did anyone remember about God provides? No. So therefore, now here they are. God put water in front of them that they couldn't drink. It was bitter. Now, overview it just very quickly to chapter 16, verse 2. And I just want you to get something. It may not end right here, but hopefully it comes out something. Chapter 16, verse 2. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel did what against Moses and Aaron? In the wilderness, they murmured, mumbled, grumbled, and everything else. Murmured. Murmuring, sounds, muttering sounds, discontented sounds. Thus, over verse 7. In the morning they shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your mutterings against the Lord. Now they're doing it against Moses and Aaron, but actually it's against the Lord. And what are we, said Moses and Aaron, that we murmur, that ye murmur against us? Who are we? We're just like you humans. We're supposed to be trusting God. You're looking at us instead of looking at God. Verse 8. And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full tummy, for that the Lord heareth your mutterings, which ye mutter against him. And what are we, Moses, Aaron? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Verse 9, and Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. Now, they weren't trusting God. And that's what they had to learn. Because you're looking for things to work for you. What are you looking for? You're looking for God. To be God. Bitter water, no water, no food. No work, no home, everything's gone. Like Psalm 46. But then there's God. And that was the whole point. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Are you guys going to learn that? Oh, it took a bit, even for a little group of them to learn it. So now having said that, and keeping that in mind, and so they saw water, happy. They were not, got all muttering and bitter and all that and stuff, and they lost the benefit. Now, in the light, I got to close, but let me go quickly, if I can, verse 25. And he cried unto the Lord, Moses did, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the water, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, that there he proved them, he put them to the test, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. A, I'll keep you from all the stuff that happens in the world. And B, if it happens to you, I'll heal you. That was the deal. No medicine, no doctors, no pharmacy. Just God. And God kept them. And thus, God, here we are. And we didn't get very far, but God, we get bitter. We're looking. What do we look for? Well, we're looking for water. We're looking for this in our life. Work out this thing in my job, my home, my work. God, work it out for me with my children, relationships. And you're working it out. And God, if it doesn't work out, oh, I get depressed, disappointed, and depressed, discouraged, and everything else. Right? Down. See? You should have been looking to God. You should have been trusting God. And that's why God let it happen. Because nothing happens. And God doesn't allow it. God lets people be like they are. People are already like they are. And God doesn't stop them from being like they are. He lets them be like they are. Unless they interfere with what he wants. Then he does something. But God lets them be like that. So what are we going to do with the people We're going to look to you, God. So we're going to learn it. God said, you ought to be trusting me and my word and not paying attention to whether the water is bitter or sweet. And when you put the tree, the cross, when you bring the cross into the picture, as we shared Sunday night, everything in forever, in all of creation before Genesis 1, angels and everything thereafter, new heaven and a new earth, everything is based on the person and work of Jesus Christ. And if he did not die, there is no solution. There is no help. There is no hope. There's nothing. He died. Put the tree in the water. But there's only a tree. That's right. Put it in the water. Because I told you to. Obey me. Do it. But it doesn't make sense. Do it. And it works. Because you believe him. I'm not saying throw trees and everything and they'll all be good. You do what God tells you to do. And you honor God. You're going to believe God, no matter how stupid it seems or how absurd. You're going to believe God. God, be very God to us. Do you understand?